Today marks Hong Kong's biggest race day of the year, with the big international meeting set to kick off this afternoon, Australian time. And the Hong Kong Jockey Club's form analyst, Andrew Hawkins, an Australian, joins us this morning on the program. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, great, Joe. It's going to be a great day today. Can't wait for what's going to be an exciting afternoon of racing.
Always such an exciting time in Hong Kong, isn't it, with so many international racing people and horses converging on this great city. How's the lead-up been this year?
Yeah, it's always an exciting build-up as people arrive, as horses arrive, and it all culminates this afternoon. It's been a great build-up. It's been fascinating seeing so many different training styles out in the morning, seeing so many different people from around the world. It's always very exciting to get them into one space, and this year's been no different. So it's been an exciting build-up. But obviously, it gets into gear this afternoon.
In your respected analytical view, Andrew, how does the international contingent line up this year compared with past?
Yeah, it's a good international contingent. I think it's got quite a bit of depth. Obviously, it's disappointing that there are no Australian horses due to quarantine issues. It's only the first time since Australian horses were first allowed to compete in 1989. It's only the second time that there have been no Australian horses, so that's disappointing. But plenty of horses carrying the Australia suffix of their base here in Hong Kong. But in terms of the internationals, it's definitely a good contingent. There's a lot coming from a number of different form lines from around the world, from Australia, from the United States, from Europe. So it's exciting to see them all come together and to try and line up these international form lines. Is always a bit of the puzzle that needs to be done each year.
What are the horses that have attracted the most interest locally?
From an international perspective, Talismanic has been very interesting, the Breeders' Cup Turf winner. Boldy faced horse, so he always catches the eye every morning. You see him go out, and it's hard to miss him. Obviously, Highland Reel coming back to Hong Kong for a third Vars attempt. It's his fourth time to Hong Kong, and it's going to be his final start. Obviously travelled around the world and has won six Group 1s. It's been fascinating to watch his career develop from a horse who, as a three-year-old, obviously went down to Melbourne, ran in a Cox Plate, but to develop into a high-class stayer. We've got the likes of Max Dynamite, obviously interesting, seeing him coming out of the Melbourne Cup and only having had a handful of runs over the last 2 years, and especially for a dual-purpose handler in Willie Mullins. We've got a Breeders' Cup Turf sprint winner in Stormy Liberal. So there's been a lot that have caught the eye in the morning.
What's caught your eye the most?
There's been a few of them that have actually caught the eye. Again, as I said before, you have so many different training styles that it's hard to figure out which ones, who looks how they're supposed to, who looks normal by their standards. But the horse that's really caught my eye has been the Japanese three-year-old Koseki, who runs in the Vars. He's had a nice preparation through. He only debuted on this day last year at Hanshin in Japan, but he's come along really nice his last two starts. But he's looked very well in the morning. He's galloped out nicely. Actually, both Japanese runners in the Vars have both Koseki, and the other runner is Tosin Basil. He's looked well as well. So I'm very interested to see what he manages to do on this afternoon.
The Japanese are always very dominant at this meeting, aren't they?
They are. They've had a lot of success. Obviously, we saw Lord Kanaloa a few years back win two sprints. We've seen the likes of Morris, Asian Hikari in the last 2 years, the Pono Crown last year, won the Vars. They've always got to be respected. They haven't brought their largest team this year, but they've brought runners in every race, and it's going to be interesting to see how they perform this afternoon.
And what of the Hong Kong-trained contingent? Who's leading the way as far as the local stables go with numbers and quality?
Yeah, it's interesting this year because there isn't a lot of depth among the Hong Kong horses in both the Vars and the Cup. We've got Werther stepping out in the Cup, obviously a former Australian-trained horse, but we've got a couple of horses in the Cup. We've got three runners in the Vars, but there's nothing there of much quality. Eagle Way is a decent horse, but will struggle a little bit. But come back down to the mile and the sprint, and Hong Kong looks like they're going to dominate again, as they usually do. Trainer John Size, our champion trainer here, has four runners in the Hong Kong sprint, including the likely favourite, Mr. Stunning. He's been very impressive this season and looks like he's going to be hard to beat. We've also got Lucky Bubbles as well, who runs for Francis Lloyd. Hugh Bowman will be aboard. he'll probably be second favourite. And between the two of them, they look very hard to beat in the sprint. When you get to the mile, we've got the horses that ran 1-2 last year in Beauty Only for Tony Cruz and also Helene Paragon for John Moore. They look the ones to beat, and it's going to be hard to see them being toppled. Hong Kong's got a very strong record in the mile, and you see it being the same again this year.
And it's been in the past, in the sprint and the mile, whilst we don't have any Australian trained horses contesting the meeting this year, there are a lot with the Australian prefix, as you say.
Yes, that's right. So there's a lot of horses coming out of Australia. Obviously, Mr. Stunning, Australian bred, Lucky Bubbles, Australian bred. We've got horses like the Wizard of Oz, who was bred down in Australia. So there are a lot of horses who have come through Australia, a lot of horses who debuted in Australia as well and arrived in Hong Kong race. The likes of Not Listen to Me, who was obviously quite exposed down in Australia. And also, when you get across to the mile as well, there are a few horses who began their career in Australia. And as we've seen in the past, there's been horses that have come through that have always seemed to dominate in those two races. So I'm expecting it to be something of the same this year. Horses like Beauty Generation in the mile, Sichuan Da, both of them bred in Australia and started their careers in Australia, and both of them look to have some sort of chance on their last runs.
And Andrew, there's been plenty of speculation as to how many winners Joe Moreira is going to ride at the meeting. What's your prediction for the Magic Man?
Yeah, the Magic Man's got a strong book of rides, as he always does. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes in the four big races. He's got a strong book. He's got Seasons Bloom in the mile, who will be among the fancies. He's got the Wizard of Oz, who's been a bit of an enigma in the sprint. Neo Realism, who won the QE2 Cup here, he rides in the Hong Kong Cup. And he's got another Japanese horse, Tosin Basil, in the Vase. It's going to be hard to see him winning more than one race. I don't actually have him on top for any of these races, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him ride one. He is a big race rider. He's very good at what he does. I do think that, however, he'll be riding a couple of winners on the undercard. He's got a couple of nice rides, including the horse that looks like being Hong Kong's next superstar, a horse called Nothing I Like More in race three. So I'll be very interested to see what Joe does there. He's also on an expensive import, a German 2000 Guineas runner-up in Lockheed. He rides him in race number six. So Joe's got a strong book, but I think it'll be interesting to watch him outside of the international races as opposed to during the internationals.
He's got a very strong following here in Australia, Joe. Plenty of punters will be on him, I'm sure. And Zach Purton, our man that's doing so well there in the jockey ranks, what sort of lineup of rides has he got, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's got an okay lineup. Zach managed to obviously win the International Jockeys Championship, but caused a bit of an upset winning at Happy Valley on Wednesday night, and that was his first time winning that event in six goes. So he's obviously having a very good week. This time he rides the Japanese filly Once in a Moon in the sprint, who looks like she might be up against it a little bit. In the mile, he rides Beauty Only, who he won on last year. Beauty Only's drawn a bit wide, but he looks to be rounding into form, so here's the chance. In the cup, he has his first ride on Time Warp, who looks to be a little bit outclassed, but he'll go forward and he'll make his own luck. And it's a similar sort of story with Gold Mount in the Hong Kong Vase. Again, he looks a little bit outclassed, but he'll actually go all the way back. He should be running on strongly late. So he has an interesting book of rides, but it's going to be tough for him to win a race, and I think he knows that himself.
Mm. And socially, I'm sure you've had a great week. It's always nice to catch up with lots of fellow visiting Australians, I'm sure.
Yeah, plenty of Australians in town. It's even without Australian runners this year, you still see a number of Australian journalists and Australian press and Australian racing fans converge on Hong Kong. It's a great end of year experience for Australians, especially given that it comes right after the end of the Spring Carnival, leading up to Christmas. It's the perfect time for a racing trip, and it's not too far from Australia. So plenty of Australians in town, and I'm sure that should there be an Australian victory of any sort, whether it be from trainers like John Moore or John Sires, or whether it be from jockeys like Hugh Bowman, Zach Purton, Tommy Berry, Sam Clipperton, even Chad Schofield, who's an adopted Australian, I'm sure there'll be plenty of parties in Hong Kong on Sunday night.
How's Tommy Berry been settling in there now? He's permanently riding in Hong Kong.
It's been a tough start for him, and he's John Moore's stable rider. So he's got the pick of the rides for John Moore, but John Moore's had a slower start by his standards. he hasn't quite had the firepower that he does some seasons. Quite a few of his horses have been on their mark. So it's been a tough start for Tommy. However, Tommy has two very good chances in today's international races. Obviously, Werther will be close to favourite, if not favourite, in the Hong Kong Cup. And Helene Paragon's one of the leading chances in the Hong Kong Mile. So he's got a good chance of making it a successful start. And to be fair with John, he's a big race trainer. It's big races that he's counted on. So I think if as long as he's doing well in these races, I think that's all that you can. That's what you'd be hoping for with Tommy.
Yeah, he's a prize money winning trainer, John. He's focused always on the black tight races in Hong Kong and abroad. And what about you yourself, Andrew? You've been based in Hong Kong, working there now for quite some time. Will we ever see you home?
I think at some point I'll definitely come home. I love Australia. I love getting back when I can. And Australian racing is always number one for me. But look, I love being here in Hong Kong. I've been in Hong Kong a number of years now, in a couple of different roles. And Hong Kong racing is something quite extraordinary to be a part of. And to be based here is phenomenal. But Australia is always home, and I'd love to get home at some point. And I'm lucky enough that it's not too long a flight, so I can get home a couple of times a year. But I would love to be based back in Australia at some point.
We'd love to have you back at some point too, Andrew. You're doing a great job up there, though. Enjoy today and the rest of the week. And thanks for sharing all your insight and valuable knowledge with us on Talking Horses this morning.
Thanks, Joe.